everybody. Welcome to Run Lead Gen Radio, your go-to podcast for all things SEO, digital marketing, and growing your business with your hosts, Quinn.
And Brian.
In today's podcast, we want to talk about Google Search Console. Everything that you need to know for Google Search Console in 2024, because it's changed over the years.
It has. We've seen a lot of reports that we used to love be removed from Google Search Console, and tools that we didn't expect start to appear in Search Console. So there's a lot of things that everyone should be aware of. So let's get into it.
All right. So if you're a business owner and you don't know what a Google Search Console is, let's talk briefly about what it is and how to get it verified. Google Search Console is Google's way, an interface for us to interact with what's happening on your website from the perspective of the Google search engine. Not so much web analytics, that's Google Analytics, and we can talk a little bit about that as well. But Google Search Console is going to show the Google side of what's happening from a user coming into your website.
Right. So the big things that you're going to see from Search Console are, number one, which pages are in the index from your website, which URLs are not. You'll have a way to submit those URLs, and then kind of some stats and performance on a few other important metrics. So it's super important to have a good grasp on Google Search Console, and it's also a great place to find a lot of opportunities where you can improve as well as see what's performing well.
Okay, so let's get into it. If you don't know, if you've already got Google Search Console verified, the easy way to check is actually the same way that we're going to get it verified. So you need to get into your DNS records, which for a lot of you that may feel a little daunting. Go to where you purchased your domain name, whether that's through GoDaddy, Namecheap, Square, Wix. You could have bought it through a handful of different places.
Right. So inside of your domain name records, you can add a record to verify and set up a Search Console profile. And to do this, this would be for setting up a domain level verification. So this is going to allow you to see all the subdomains of your website, all the versions of your URL, versus if you don't use a domain name verification, you're usually looking at just one instance of your URL. So usually the primary version of your URL. When you don't do the domain verification, there are a few other verification methods on there. Some of these are going to be automatic. If you've already installed Google Analytics or Tag Manager under the same account you're logging into, going in and setting up Search Console for at the URL property is going to be as easy as just saying, yeah, verify against my Google Analytics. But I would highly recommend everyone does the domain level verification. Otherwise, you might not be seeing all of your data.
Perfect. So go ahead and do a Google search for Google Search Console. It'll be one of the first two results there. And you're going to want to just go in and start the verification process. So what that will look like is you'll land on a page and you will hit add property. And from there, you get this window. And this is what Brian's talking about. What are the benefits, pros and cons for these two paths? Number one, back in the day, we used to have to verify HTTPS, HTTP, www versus non-www. I mean, we'd have four different versions of Google Search Console verification to make sure we captured all of the data that was coming into these various different places so that we could capture when there were issues and we needed to fix things. Now you can just do the domain level verification. So that's primarily the reason why we would say go down that route. You capture everything, you got all your bases covered. But like Brian mentioned, going down the path of the URL prefix can be easier and may already have happened based off of other things that you've done to set up your website.
Yep, exactly. And one thing that we've actually run into recently is if you don't have root access to your DNS to be able to go in and change a domain record, then doing a URL prefix might be a lot easier. The super common method for registering on a URL prefix is upload of a verification file. So You can go in, download a text file from Google Search Console, and upload it to your domain, and you're done. That's probably the least technical. Some of the other verification methods include like adding a meta tag, or as I mentioned, going through your specific analytics or tag manager integration. So,
and depending on your CMS, like Wix or WordPress, obviously there are plugins and some integrated functionality that will walk you through wizards to help you do that as well. So that we're not going to go down the URL prefix path this round, primarily because we want to show you what we would prefer anyway. So in this case, we're going to just use test.com, but you're going to want to throw in your domain here. You don't want to throw it in with HTTPS or www. Just throw in the domain as is, name.com, and go ahead and hit continue. And what this is going to give you is it's going to give you a TXT record. So this is why it's important. You can toggle this to a CNAME record. TXT is fine. But like I said, go to your domain name provider, and then you're going to copy this guy here, and we're going to install a TXT record on the other side. So let me show you what that looks like. All right, so for today's example, we'll use a Wix site. It's becoming more popular, especially with Wix making some pretty heavy investments into SEO. So for the Wix users, you can come over on the left-hand side, depending on where you're at in your Wix studio, you can go to settings, and we're looking for domains. Now, very similar to whether you're doing this on Cloudflare through a CDN or your domain provider like GoDaddy, you're looking for those DNS records. So something that says manage those DNS records. And in this case, we've already added the TXT record, but you can come down here, add a record. You can actually leave the host name blank here on the Wix side because they're going to add that host name automatically. And you can go ahead and paste in that TXT record that we grabbed from Google Search Console. You're going to hit, go ahead and hit save. And once you do that, you're going to go back to Google Search Console and hit verify. Once that DNS record is saved and you hit verify, you now have domain level verification of Google Search Console, which is going to enable you to do all the cool stuff that we're just about to talk about. So whether you are a marketer, a first-time business owner, or somewhere in between, we are guaranteed to have some pretty cool insights for why Google Search Console is going to be valuable for your business, and then, you know, some insights and opportunities that you can identify through this platform.
All right, so the first thing to look at is right in the top bar there, we have the inspect any URL, and this is just an example domain that we're looking at, but this is the URL inspection tool, and this is going to give you the specifics about any URL inside of Google's index, or it can help you find out if a URL is not inside of Google's index. You can put your homepage in there. You can put any URL. So we'll just go ahead and put in rrescue.org. This is the same as the homepage. And so now we can see that the URL is on Google, it's indexed, any enhancements or experience signals that go with it. But what's really important here is up in the top right corner, we have test the live URL. So the reason that this is important is a while back, actually I believe it was last year, Google removed the mobile friendly testing service that would be on the, I believe it was just like Google mobile friendly test that a lot of people would use to make sure that Google was rendering their site correctly on mobile, in particular, that all their JavaScript and everything was rendering correctly. So now once we've ran this test, you can hit view the tested page over here on the left. Okay. So now that we've gone and done the live test, we can click this view tested page, and over here on a screenshot, that's going to actually let us see exactly what Google is rendering. And so this is really important to make sure that your JavaScript and mobile friendliness is working the way that you would expect it to. You can also see the actual HTML or any additional info about resources that we're loading there. And so this is a really important tool. And when you pair the URL inspection tool with something like Screaming Frog, Now you can crawl your entire website and pull that URL inspection data for an entire site to find out, are there important URLs that should be indexed that are not?
And vice versa, URLs that shouldn't be indexed that are.
Exactly, exactly. So that is probably from here. You can see there's also that page change request indexing. If you have a URL that is not indexed, you can request that it be indexed right here. And so, yeah, this is a really important part of the Google Search Console.
Okay, so let's go to the next segment. We're just going to go from top to bottom. So the search results, this is going to be a performance report that shows how you're doing in Google search results. And this is going to be broken down by pages, by search queries, by your rank position, and then your click-through rate. So you can actually go through and parse through all that data, looking and prioritizing based off of those statistics. So this is a powerful tool. We use this tool. You can use this tool to identify historical seasonality. You can use this tool to identify potential changes in the algorithms. You can use this tool, obviously, to look at the performance of the optimizations that you're making.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really important that you just said in regards to seasonality is that we've seen Google giving us less and less historical data. So you used to be able to look back all time, as long as you've had your Search Console registered. And now that data starts to cut off after 18 months. So if you want to be able to measure something like that year over year, it's important that you get your Google Search Console outputting its data to somewhere like BigQuery.
Good call. We also use this tool to identify drops and increases in performance. So we can use this to compare over a period of time. Of course, we can look at a trended line over the course of a long period of time, or we can look at that comparison, say in this case, 3 months to the last 3 months. And we can look at how we're doing in any given period of time. And then we can parse down through those queries to see if a particular query is performing better or worse in that same amount of time.
Yeah, exactly. And so this can be really important if you are doing something like a site migration. So for example, once you launch a new website, being able to see which pages or which queries you've lost or potentially gained, this is going to be really helpful to get this data out of Search Console. And if you actually migrated your domain, I know there are some really great tools out there for Looker Studio. So you can connect your old domain and your new domain and kind of watch as that transition to the new domain happens. And as you slowly move out of the old domain's index into the new domain. So
another powerful tool that you can use in tandem with this particular report is Google Trend data. So you can go and plug in a particular keyword and see how the volume is trending over time to see if that has impact as well over, you know, how many people are actually clicking through and getting impressed from those particular results for each query.
So kind of moving down, let's really quick look at some of the filtering. So up here where we set our date comparison, there's an opportunity to click a new dimension, if you will, where you can filter out by query, page, country of traffic, the device type. So is it on a mobile? Is it on a desktop? Or anything related to the search appearance? So this can be really helpful for finding new ideas for improving your content. So you can go and do something like a query and let's do a query, and you could do something like keywords containing what, or this is just an example. And so now we can find, hey, are there keywords that have the, or phrases that have what kind of questions are people asking that maybe we're getting impressions for but not getting clicks? And now we can know that we should go and answer that question in the website.
It may also help us with understanding how our SERP data is, our meta title and our meta description. Because if we're showing up, Google says, you know, here you are in the index, but for whatever reason, we're not getting a click. Maybe there's some optimizations for click-through, right, to make it more enticing and help people understand the content a little bit better from the, we'll say, the yellow pages or the, you know, the Google search results.
Yeah. So one of the really important things here, in my opinion, is also the pages tab. So regardless of what filter you have on, whether that's a query or search appearance or device, you'll always still have these tabs down here in your report for queries, pages, countries. And by looking at the pages, now from here, you can go and isolate a certain page and add that as a filter by clicking on the page. And now we're seeing performance of a particular page. And then we can see all of the queries that are related to questions that this particular post is ranking for.
Yeah, so that's a good call, right? You can add new filters up here like we did originally, but as you kind of parse through and click through some of the report here, it will automatically add those as filters as well.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say about the filtering is the regex. So filtering by regex in the query parameter, this is something that, you know, queries containing custom regex. This is something that SEOs were asking Google to include for a very long time. So now we can do something like what, and then pipe, and then there we go. What, pipe, who, and where, things like that. And now we can encapsulate a lot more than just a single phrase. And so this custom regex can be really beneficial for isolating groups of keywords. And so, yeah, that's something SEOs were really looking forward to and asking for a long time that we now have.
And for, in layman's terms, for those that may feel like that's too technical, regex is regular expression. You can do some Google searches on some basic regular expressions that can help you with some of that. It's kind of the same concept as the Boolean search way back in the day, right, where we have kind of an expressive way to add ands and ors and other particular ways to parse through text.
Yeah, it's super powerful for matching patterns. And I would say that's the most simplistic way for me to describe regular expression is pattern matching. Yeah. And so,
great. Okay, so let's move on to Discover. The Discover tab is going to talk about the platform of Google Discover.
Yeah. So if you don't have an Android phone, you might not be super familiar with Discover. If you have an Android phone and you've ever opened up your Google app, you will have seen one of Google's very important surfaces that they're really pushing from the Google Ads side, from the organic side, which is Google Discover. And this is where you're going to have posts recommended to you based on your interest. And so this is kind of separate from search, in my opinion, but I'm glad they give us this data here because it does come from Google. But yeah, this, you'll notice there's no queries related to Discover. It's all based off interest. And traffic from Discover can be huge. It can be very little. But this is a newer section of Google from the last few years. And if you've got posts ranking in here, then you're probably super excited because you're getting interest and awareness-based traffic that you weren't before.
I would say Google Discover and Google News are both new to Google Search Console, and they're both really new opportunities for SEOs to focus on. It's not always been at the top of the priority list for SEOs, and so it is a great opportunity to get exposure from these other surfaces. So this is a way to identify new opportunities and to continue to expand that organic presence.
And so from the Google Ads side of things, this is where the same Google surface where their discovery campaigns are intermingling sponsored posts based on interest with regular posts based off interest. So There are a variety of content types that can show up in Discover. Some of the more common ones that are easier to get published are like web stories, where you're publishing using a certain format, and maybe that's probably a Discover and web stories, and some of those different content types might even need to be a whole episode of their own. So
for sure. Okay, so let's dive into the next part that really is important, and that's the indexation. Remember, for those that are unfamiliar with Google Search Console and SEO in general, indexation, what are we talking about? Consider Google like a big library, and you've got people coming into the library, and the websites are the books, right? And we've got to put websites not only where a full book would go on a shelf at a library, but we've got to go page by page and index these pages into Google's library so that people will find them when they're looking for them, in this case, when they do a search query. So when we talk about indexation, we're looking at what pages are in the index. Now, this is essentially the same type of functionality as that inspect any URL tool, but we look at it as a whole.
Yeah, I think one thing to really be specific on here is it says pages, right? Right there you can see view data about index pages, but really this is unique URLs. And so one of the things that can happen is the same page can have a variety of URLs from query parameters and really variations of a page even that might have the same content can end up being linked together through here canonically. And so, yeah, it says pages, but when you're looking at the index versus not index, it's important to remember that those are URLs.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good call for SEOs in general. If you're trying to dabble in SEO, or you've got an SEO that you've hired, you ought to be thinking of your website in the context of URLs. That's going to help you understand what your crawl budget looks like. That's going to help you understand what internal linking looks like, what URL structure looks like. URLs are the home base of all SEO. So we want to make sure that there is a unique URL to anything that we're going after, and that it's indexed appropriately for the keyword that we're trying to rank for. Any addition to that starts to ask questions, right? Do we have duplicate content? Do we have parameter issues? Do we have pagination issues? Are we creating a wormhole or a loop or a spider trap for bots to go down and not be able to understand the uniqueness and the comprehensiveness of the content that we're putting out there?
That's a really important point. So this is broken down into two sections, pages that are indexed and pages that are not indexed. And so from here, this graph can kind of help you see what is happening with the number of URLs on your site, number one. But number two, this lower section of why pages aren't indexed can help you identify issues that need to be corrected, can help you identify URLs that maybe should have been redirected if there's a broken link. This is a really important section of, and probably one of the most valuable sections of Search Console, in my opinion.
And this section of Search Console pairs well, again, with other really valuable tools like Robots.txt Tester and Screaming Frog. It's going to enable us to identify opportunities, go make changes, optimizations, and then retest and see how those optimizations impact performance. You guys, that's the real name of the game when it comes to getting yourself onto Google. It is, identifying the opportunities, making changes, seeing how those changes impact your performance. All right, so the next one we want to talk about is sitemaps. If you don't know what a sitemap is, you might need to hire an SEO. Sitemap's important, you guys, as far as what we're talking about, getting your site indexed into Google. This is a way for you to tell Google all the pages or URLs that you know that exist that you want them to put on the shelf.
That's right. And technically, you can have sitemaps that contain videos, images, events. There's a lot of different ways to break down your sitemap. And if you have a really big site, having that figured out and being able to divvy up your sitemaps in a kind of an organized manner can really make things easier or harder if you haven't done that.
For example, we've worked on sites as large as 300 million URLs. How do you tell Google about 300 million URLs and have Google crawl and index them all appropriately and then be able to report back on that and iterate on it? So you have to have a very solid sitemap strategy that allows you then to view performance of indexation by, say, page type or URL structure, that allows you then to dive into all of that data in a driven way, a purposeful way.
Yeah, and so one thing that's really important on here is these are done in XML. Most websites, if you're using a pre-existing platform or CMS like WordPress, Wix, Webflow, most tools are going to have these output for you automatically. But if you've built your own site or you've got a custom site, maybe you built something in React, anything outside of the major platforms, then this is something you're going to need to prepare yourself.
That's right. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about sitemaps. There's a lot here to unpack, and we won't get into it all, but XML sitemaps versus an HTML sitemap and the value of having both today. Really, the HTML sitemap that maybe more of you are familiar with, because that's kind of the front end to allow crawlers and people to navigate through the site, still important. Obviously, the problem that we've seen with those is we see a lot of people use them as a crutch to catch all their URLs, as opposed to having a really purposeful internal linking structure, but also valuable. We want to make sure that Google can find every URL out there that we want in its library.
Yeah, absolutely. The next section is removals. So this is a really important section if you have content that you need to get removed. This is important to know that these are temporary removals. You'll see that out in the tab right there. But I believe it's 60 days, and anything that you need to get out of the search results, whether that be, oh, we have a old price that's out there that we shouldn't have out there, and so we need to get that out of the search results ASAP, or There's a really a variety of reasons, but so the removals tool is very important. Hopefully you're not having to remove too many things from your site through this tool, but yeah, this is where you can manage all of that.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple. You can come in here, add a new request, put in a URL, go through that little wizard. All right, you guys, the next section of Google Search Console is imperative, and it's a newer section. I won't say it's new, but it is newer because of Core Web Vitals and site speed being integrated into as signals for ranking potential. So the first tab here is page experience.
So the page experience is actually one of Google's publicly made known ranking systems. And what it looks at is three things: your Core Web Vitals, how your desktop and mobile usability, and your HTTPS URLs. So in order for people to have a good experience, they should all have a secure and usable and fast version of a web page. And so that's what Google is trying to get people to accomplish by sharing this data with us. And so the page experience is all of those combined. So the next tab here is the Core Web Vitals, and this is how fast your site goes in simple terms.
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit about Core Web Vitals, and we will continue to talk about Core Web Vitals because of how important they are now for page rank potential. But suffice it to say here, this is a way for you to manage them and view performance of them at a large scale so that you can make changes and then watch performance iterations.
That's correct. So the important thing here is being able to find URLs that have a bad experience, so you can go in and work on those and find opportunities to improve the speed of your site.
Perfect. All right, you guys, let's jump down real quick to Google Shopping. You know, if you've got an e-commerce site and you're using Google Merchant Center, this is going to give you some insight to that performance.
Yeah, so there's a few things here. The number of products that are actually indexed and valid inside of your Merchant Center. There is product snippets, which is actually where do you have a product schema in place and if you're being awarded that. And then this is the shopping tabs listings is a newer report where you're able to go in and see exactly how your products are appearing on the shopping tab. And so Google is making a lot of changes and updates and trying to support e-commerce more through Search Console and its link to Google Merchant Center. And as we see Amazon and other big shopping platforms taking market share away from Google, we're seeing Google kind of have a response to that. So
perfect. So really the rest of Google Search Console can be broken down into some of the rich results that we can capture, as well as some legacy tools, and then the final settings and links that we can get into. So let's jump in briefly into some of these enhancements.
Yeah, so if you've added schema onto your website, this is where you're going to see, hey, yes, Google is awarding me the rich snippets to my search results page listing, and where I'm not getting it that I should be, so I can go and find items that need fixed. These are going to help your click-through rate, and so having some data back on what you're doing with your schema is super important.
Okay, you should hope to never have to see anything here. If you're breaking rules, or if for whatever reason competition flags you or otherwise, you may get a manual penalty, right? Where Google's coming in and saying you've broken a rule, you've been removed from the search results for any particular reason.
Yeah, the other thing that's paired with those manual actions is security. So if you end up getting your website hacked and you're now serving malware or your traffic is redirecting to somewhere else, if Google catches that, before you do, you'll see that in the security issues tab. But yeah, hopefully you're not having to deal with manual actions or security issues, but this is where you're going to get that data from Google.
Perfect. So let's dive briefly into legacy tools. Now, as for the legacy tools and reports, we're just seeing most of them be removed. In fact, I don't even think this.
Yeah, you cannot use the legacy tools or reports on a domain level verification. You have to go into one of the specific URL prefix verifications. But yeah, there's all kinds of old tools in there, and we are seeing Google put more and more of those on the chopping block. And so we could probably do 3 or 4 hours of review on the different tools that and what's been in there and what's going away. Moving on to this next section. So these are your internal and external links, as well as the top links that point to your site. So this is really important. This is how you're getting your page rank or the different link signals that are pointing to your site. And you can come and see what those most important links are, find new links, and in some instances, maybe you need to find links that you need to have removed. This section down here, the top linking text, this is the different anchor text from all the links that point to your site. And if you're targeting a certain keyword or trying to build a brand, this is going to be really important data for you.
You guys, the last thing that I really want to say here, so Brian's talked a little bit about PageRank. It's kind of this ambiguous term that we've used over the course of time that suggests that there's a more valuable page than another because of how many internal and external links that are coming to it, right? Regardless of the debate about PageRank, there are sufficiently important reasons to consider how many links are coming into a particular page. So this is a valuable report. At the end of the day, you know, this can seem monotonous, this can seem tedious, but if you want to show up on Google and you want to beat out competitors, every one of these reports and every one of these little details matters.
Yeah, well said. Very well said. Now into the settings. There, this is where you can share access. This is where you can see what other properties are linked from Google Ads, Google Analytics, your Merchant Center, your BigQuery, the change of address tool. So if you're going to change domains, once you've got your redirects in place, this is where you come to tell Google about it. You've got your export for BigQuery and your robots.txt, and then this last report that I think we should open up down here, which is the crawl stats. So this is where you can come and get an idea of how, when, and why Google is crawling your site, if you've had any problems, and gives you a vague idea of what kind of crawl budget you're working with as well.
Yeah, and crawl budget's another one of those terms we've used that Google has said one way or the other, and then the leak has confirmed another way or the other. But crawl budget is suggesting that Google doesn't have unlimited resources to crawl every page every day. So when you look at your URLs that you have on your given domain, are you telling Google sufficiently which is most important, so that it's crawling those pages and not wasting those resources on URLs that don't matter, URLs that shouldn't be in the index or otherwise, right?
Yeah. Another important thing about crawl budget and this crawl stats report is Google will only crawl your site as fast as it can. And if you start running into errors where Google hitting so many URLs, it's crashing your site, then now Google's going to start slowing down and crawling less. And you're going to start to see new pages take longer and longer to get into the index. And if you have something like that happening, this is where you're going to find out and give you some ideas on how to fix it.
You guys, if you've made it this far, kudos to you. This is kind of a technical episode. But what we're trying to get at here is, number one, if you're a business owner and you want to grow a business, you've got to get in front of people. And that you know, right? And if you want to get in front of people, what are your options? You can get on a radio ad, you can get on a billboard, but as far as the cost per view or impression to reach more people and a higher intent audience that's interested in what you have to give, you gotta be on Google. In 2024, that's the goal. And if you're gonna be on Google or if you're gonna be on a search engine, you've got to be on the Google Search Console or Bing Webmaster Tools. You've got to be where the search engines require you to be and play by their rules to get onto Google. So if you feel like, meh, this isn't something that I need to know, this isn't something that's important to me, then you've misunderstood the purpose of the podcast. This is important. So that we have a couple things to say here. One, if we did not cover something that you have a question about, leave it in the comments. Reach out to us. We'd love to answer the question. There's so much more to dive into on Google Search Console. But two, we'd love to have a conversation. If we said something that you feel differently about or that we might not have covered appropriately or wholly, call us out. Let's have a conversation about it, because this is a very important piece to growing your business. No matter which way you slice and dice that pie, if you're trying to grow a business, you've got to consider Google Search Console.
Well said.
All right, you guys, that's it for today's episode. Go ahead and like and subscribe if this is the type of content that you like. If you're trying to grow a business, whether you are a marketer or a business owner or somewhere in between, this is the type of content that we believe will help you grow. So you're at the right place. This is Run Lead Gen Radio, and we help you scale to success.